Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Spectrum Cannabis.
Yeah.
This is Sam, the producer, but today I am co-hosting.
Yeah.
Because Calandra is out. She's
Doing Calandra things.
Lives a very busy life.
She sure does.
Yep, and so Lance is here. Hi, Lance.
Hi.
That's done. And we've got a guest, Elizabeth Sage.
Welcome. Hello. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's great.
It's great.
I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. So now we're into it.
Officially introduced.
This is, yeah, this is the show.
Great.
You guys have had plenty of time to chat this morning since we were having some technical issues. But
we saved our best stuff for you, though. We started down a few roads and we walked it back.
We did. And we, you know, perhaps we'll remember what those were and talk about it.
Maybe.
But, I mean, there's always a podcast before the podcast. There usually isn't one after it. But
No. In fact, we'll have to run right out of here. All right. Well, what do we do to start? You know, where do we go?
Yeah, I mean, I think we find out a little bit about what you're up to, right? I mean, we were just talking about community. And,
we were.
And I was like, you got a podcast? And I like to maybe do a tiny bit of research. And, you know, we've met before. And, you know, I probably see you the most on LinkedIn and not much in person. I think it's been, you said like a 420 ago is the last time we saw you.
Perhaps, yeah. Although that, I feel like that says more about you than me because I feel like I'm everywhere all the time.
Right, yeah.
Where have you been is the question.
I'm selling in to as many places as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why our ships don't cross.
Yeah, because I'm not as much in buying. It's, you know, I love our beverage and our edibles market, but like my, you know, my heart and soul is in flower and concentrates. And so I'm very eagerly awaiting our new adult use market to be accessible for people.
Yeah.
Isn't everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's the big topic lately.
I mean, is it or did people, I feel like people are just like, you know, we're going to take a break. There's nothing to talk about for the next month.
At least
the latest announcement.
Correct. Since last week, I think everybody's, you know, sales were sufficiently deflated and they can just like limp into the holidays. And that's a 2025 problem.
Right. Yeah. Well, the hope is that it doesn't become a 2026 problem, right?
Mm.
I mean, I kind of had this feeling. I know plenty of us had this feeling based off of what was happening or not happening.
Correct.
Pretty much based off of what was not happening. We're like, well, 2025 is not really like beginning of 2025. I'm like, I don't even know if by summer we're going to be in a spot where we're like, hey,
really, Elizabeth, you don't.
Well, I think if you just look at the, you know, like look at the timeline, if licenses aren't issued till July, there's no way before Q4 you're going to have stores that are selling that product unless there's another way to get product into retail before the newly licensed cultivation facilities can produce it.
Right. Because in order for that to happen, and speaking of the flower and the concentrate side, and for our listeners, our thousands and thousands of listeners, not millions yet, but
we're working on it.
We're working on it. So you get a cultivation license, and let's just say you're like, yep, let's go. And seeds in the ground, everything's...
Say your facility's already all built. It's like, it's tested, it's ready to go, and you get a license on June 1st.
Sure, right? And so we've got our autos, we've got our photos, we've got all, you know, the different type of growing seasons, right? But if we did it the absolute fastest, it would be an autoflower, right? Mm-hmm. And that autoflower, in your mind, like... what kind of time does that take? And then you've got cure, and then you've got, you had to trim, and you got cure, and you got this, and you got that. Like, is it 1 month to do something like that? I mean, I know the answer to this.
But yeah. I mean, I think
I don't.
Minimum 4 months.
Right.
To get
all the way through, you know, a quick season, drying, curing, trimming, packaging, test, testing. I got real emphatic about that testing, you guys.
Yeah.
All of that. Yeah. And then to get it into somebody's hands, 4 months minimum. Right. Now, like I said, I think there are other ways. We see all of our tribal nations are online. Like, they've got facilities that are producing in fairly large quantities and getting larger and larger by the day.
Yeah.
If there's a way that they can sell into the market right away, then some of these retail dispensaries, that's the way I think
is that
we
the
could
hope?
See retail. I have no idea, to be honest.
Yeah.
I have,
what is your role in all of this? What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I am a.
I don't do any research.
No. So. I'm a, like, by trade, if you will. My background is in sales and marketing, and I worked for a private investment company in Chicago for a very long time. Most recently, I worked for McKinsey Consulting, but I've been a cannabis user since I was 15. So it's always been part of my personal life, never a part of my professional life.
Yeah.
When, you know, COVID hit, we all were, you know, moved back home. I knew that I wanted to pivot in my career and I wanted to dig deeper. And I had done some cannabis tourism. I had started to learn more about the plant, but I wanted to do a deep dive, and I found a cannabis sommelier program online.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. It had some live components to it out in California. I did that a couple times. And once I got through with it, there was so much opportunity, and especially around the community of other people that were drawn to the program, and not really a way to capture all of that. So I started hosting Zoom sessions for people as a way to continuously learn and stay connected to the industry, because it is so ever changing and fast, and it's so deep and multi-layered. And over, you know, this was almost 4 years ago, and so over the course of the years, it's turned into a subscription-based program where we look at the industry from, you know, sort of a high level with a monthly theme and explore really deep. But we also bring in, you know, trade skill building, so different partners on technology, science, medicine, that sort of thing. And then we work with cultivators across the country, and we do different assessments for them to see what it's like, you know, what people are growing in different parts of the world, the difference between growing indoors versus outdoors, in soil versus aeroponics versus hydroponics, like with this type of medium and, you know, this type of fertilizer, like all these different things, and then provide feedback to the different cultivators or producers and manufacturers to help them.
So is there like a database of that stuff?
There is a database of it, and then I keep all of the data logged, and you can, you know, manipulate it a few different ways too. So that's my community education is what I call that, because it's really an extension of that community of people. And so I like to keep the price point of it very accessible to people, multiple meetings a week at different times, so you can pop in and out wherever you see fit. And it really, like, there's so many amazing people in it that want to contribute and are huge, huge parts of it. So it makes it kind of not hands off, but I always say, like, I'm the conduit, but it's really like the people in there doing the things and making the connections that make it like a really, really special place. So that's my online community. And then I do a lot of consulting, like, because of my background, and then marrying that with the cannabis world. There are a lot of people who are in traditional businesses trying to move over to cannabis. They're in hemp trying to go to adult use marijuana. They're first-time business owners and an entrepreneur.
Yeah, right.
So just that coaching, and it's sort of, you know, it's a lot of business coaching, but it's also a lot of personal coaching, because how you do one thing is how you do everything. And so if you do things a little bit messy in your business life, it's probably because you do them a little messy in your personal life.
Sure.
And understanding that, you know, we as people, like, we have so many things that hold us back, but we have so much potential too. And so when you find the right person who can kind of like see exactly who you are and how you are and figure out the way to work through that and actually utilize it to your advantage as you build or grow or transition your business, like that's a really special thing. So that's sort of what I'm passionate about, is like finding people who have good ideas, they're already in it, they want to do cool things, but they need that extra coaching. Like sometimes you need handholding. Cannabis is mean. People are nasty, and like there are a lot of them.
Business is, right?
I know, and like, and there's a lot of people that are full of shit too, and that gets to people in their brains, and it gets all like. So I like, you know, we just get it all out, and so it's like it's business therapy, is what it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my two, and I'm a mom. I have three kids, so like I run a whole household, and I also have it's not quite a podcast, but it looks like it will be in 2025. It's called the Great Lakes Bait Club. So it's myself, Angelique Zarillo, who's another certified gongier out of Chicago, and Sarah Tupper, who has a lifestyle brand in Michigan. And so the three of us together, you know, supporting women in the industry, but also just entrepreneurship and marrying that with motherhood and all of the other things that we do. So it's a twice monthly Zoom that people join us for, and like we have guests that we bring in, we have a lot of takeaways and things that are helpful to people as they navigate all of these things. And it's just, it's really another place of community. It's a different, broader community. But to me, at the heart of all of this, right, at the heart of the plant of cannabis, that's what it's about. It's about finding the right plants for the right people and bringing them all together. So any way, shape, or form that we can do that, I'm into.
Right.
Whoa.
You asked, and I told you.
Oh, crap.
So you didn't even have to do research. I had it all for you.
I tried to absorb it.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
I understand most of what you said.
Great.
But
I'll clarify anything.
Yeah. There's probably questions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the gongier program, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sommelier program of cannabis.
Mm-hmm. And is that, you know, like when we think of sommeliers, we think of people who can try a wine and be like, oh, this is from this place and it's this
the terroir.
Yeah.
Taste of a place.
Oh, yes. Mm. Is a gongier more about like the science behind?
So I would say it's more about just putting objective metrics around a product. So when, you know, like sommeliers, there's three different levels of sommeliers. So I think a level one somm doesn't necessarily have that same, you know, where they can taste something and tell you its appellation of origin. That is probably like a level three, that it's like, oh, this is like the, you know, the earthy flavors of Sonoma or whatever. Cause I don't actually drink wine.
Yeah.
What I see a level one certified gongier as is someone who can look at a flower or a concentrate and give you objective metrics, right? So the trim on this, that's one of the first things that we look at. It, you know, is it shaggy? Is it nice? Was it machine trim? Did it go too close and now it looks all wonky? So like that's an objective metric that I think we can all say, you know, the market would want this. This is what people are looking for. I like a farmer's trim. I want you to leave a couple leaves around there so it's protected. And so I don't mind at home taking that off and breaking it apart and doing my thing. But I also, you know, people buy by weight. And that's something that we don't necessarily think about, is like those extra leaves are extra weight that somebody's going to pay for and then take off. Now, we're not mad about that with a banana. You know, we peel a banana and we're not like, well, I paid 29 cents for that and I only got 19 cents worth of banana.
Because
it protects it and keeps it.
Bananas doesn't make any sense.
No, but listen, don't start driving up the price of bananas because we go through so much.
So we do at my house.
We're like the 3-pound Costco family once a week. But so it's just, you know, that's what the market wants right now. And that's because the buyer has only had a limited amount of options to see things because price matters for people. I think maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now, we might see that appearance objective change a little bit based on consumer preference, but they just haven't had time to develop that yet.
Right.
No. You know, another thing would be how loud it is. So like the aroma, is it something that jumps out of the jar, whether that's, you know, again, concentrate or flower, or is it something that I really have to stick my nose in there to smell? And that's an objective metric. If I know, you know, 10 is across the room, I can smell that within a minute of it opening, versus one is I literally am in right in front of it, cannot smell it. That's something that other people can quantify as well.
Yep. Yeah.
So looking at those different things, putting scores to them, and then it gives it a final end score. Now, where I think it can get difficult is one of those scores is experience. And so as we know, cannabis is so personal to each of us, right? Like I can smoke a Jack Herrera and love it, and maybe you don't, and you freak out. You're going to give it a 2. I'm going to give it a 10. We're going to have vastly different scores, even if all of our, you know, other three objective metrics meet.
Right.
So it, you know, there is always room, I think, but that's the same with wine too. Part. Like there's, there is a subjective element. So you can look at just those objective metrics that we can all agree on. And from there you can discern some quality. And again, it's like the market, how it is now. My hope and my goal is to educate people enough that they want more, that they're asking their producers and their farmers to do better, to do things differently, that they, you know, for me, maybe it's worked a little backwards, but as soon as I learned more about how cannabis was grown and how like toxins and metals in the soil get into the cannabis that I smoke, I'm like, well, that's gross. I don't want that. And then I'm like, well, I mean, I guess I probably shouldn't eat that food then. If I'm not going to you start to understand like there is a connection between the things that we're getting and how we're putting them in our body. And so I think for a lot of people that eat organic now and they're really, really clean, like they don't understand like that works this way too. And
in the cannabis world.
Correct.
Right? Yeah,
and so now once people are actually able to sell it here in the market, will they be labeling it as, you know, Sun and Earth certified or organic? There's a company that I work with out of Kentucky that is a hemp company and they're USDA certified organic. Like I think some people want to see that. I want to know.
Well, yeah.
You know, but it's not, you know, you have to pay extra for that. And, you know, right now, when you're a producer of cannabis, especially in some of these legacy markets or in just the older markets, right, whether you're a legacy or a licensed producer now, your price per pound is so tough. Like you don't necessarily have the extras. I know people who do things and could be certified to some of these levels that just don't have the money to pay for the certifications right now.
Sure.
So there's, you know. But I think that's the exciting part about people getting to tell their stories and people getting invested in different brands and cultivations and in the things that they produce.
Yeah, and I think that we can get there. I think we can get there faster than, you know, 10 to 15 years. But I think you're probably spot on, because if we look at craft beer, right?
Yeah.
Which some people still like, but you don't hear a lot of people go, oh, you like that dark beer, right? Like, That was a thing that people would say. And to get people to understand, well, you're not getting a rack of hams for $15. You're getting four beers for $15. Oh, and it's that dark beer. Mm-hmm. And we were talking before about the kind of the IBU race and that's kind of like, I liken that a little bit maybe to the THC race, right? On the cannabis side. And it's like the highest THC that you can possibly get. And that's what everybody wants. And it's like, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, I want a 35% THC flower. But I'm for sure not that person, right? But it's also how we're being marketed to and the choices we're making in that marketing that drives that race. And then causes the lab situations and all of the other things that come along with it. But we don't say dark beer anymore, right? And we have a better understanding of what that market is and craft beer.
Yeah, I mean, so over my lifetime, I've seen the craft beer market go from you could get Shiner Bock or Sam Adams or whatever. That was like there were only two or three choices. Sierra Nevada, Sam Adams, Shiner Bock, whatever.
Dale's Pale Ale came out.
That was one of the first, right?
We were like, whoa, what's happening?
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, the whole cannabis industry, like I'm new to it.
Mm.
So I'm interested in it all, like in the sense that 10 or 15 years down the road, are there going to be more people consuming marijuana by smoking it? Or are there going to be more people consuming it these very
different modalities?
Yeah, but very packaged. Like, so it's like
consumer product goods.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think both. I think the United States is unique in that we smoke flower predominantly, and most other countries smoke concentrates, so traditional hash and other forms of concentrates. I think we will see a lot of packaged products because that's what's accessible to people, and people don't like the smell, like full stop.
And it's a lot of work, you know, to figure out how to smoke. And I feel like the marijuana, despite being illegal forever when we were younger, it's always been there anyway. Like, it's not like it wasn't there the whole right. time. So I'm trying to wrestle with what's going to change and what's going to change dramatically or what's going to change not as much as we think it's going to change. Like, are we going to see a whole bunch of new people entering a market to buy flower or to go smoke marijuana? Did we already have it? Was it already so accessible that that's already kind of saturated? Like, that's the people who do it, do it.
There will be a renaissance. I think there's two things. Like, buying drugs on the street now, like today, number one, you really don't buy them on the street. Like, there are places you can go to do that are very lovely experiences. If I look back 10 years ago, how I bought cannabis, like, I say often as a woman, I put myself in situations that I should not have, I'm sure, numerous times, like unsafe places. And I am thankful that I never had an unsafe situation, but it is not easy to get. And it is now much easier to get, but it's fun to shop at a dispensary. If you've smoked weed your whole life and you've never gone to a place where you have more than two choices, like, I remember the first time somebody I bought weed from had two choices and then three choices, and I didn't know what to do. I had to go on Leafly and look to whatever they could tell me. And I'm like, well, based on this, this is how I'll choose. And that was very exciting. I remember the first time I ever went to a dispensary, and I was like,
how many choices are there?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I didn't know what to do. Like, I was like, well, here's kind of what I want. And they were like, okay, you know, take this. So I can think back to like all of the firsts that I've had. I can remember the first time that I ordered it. You know, like I Googled when I got to California and I got my medical card there, and I, you know, found a guy and he brought it to my Airbnb, and I was like, this is so cool. So, I, as somebody even still, like, I love to go to a dispensary. I love to see what there is out there. That's not how I buy most of my products.
Right.
And I'm in a, you know, I'm a fortunate woman where people give me things
right.
all the time
okay.
to look at. So I think that's why I like going to dispensaries, is because I get a lot of really great stuff.
Yeah.
I like to go see what everybody else, like, what is everybody else's options, and what, you know, what would I tell people to go find if they weren't getting it, you know, the same channels that I'm getting it through.
Yeah. I love the dispensary action and going into the different dispensaries in the different states.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, ooh, what rule will they have here that I can or can't do? Because each state is different.
Everybody's right. got something a little weird, and, you know, like the, I don't know a better way to describe it other than, like, you know, when you're watching cops and somebody's serving a warrant and they've got the bars that they're like yanking off of the, mm-hmm. like, that's what it felt like when I went into this New Mexico dispensary.
And oh, really?
You went in and it was very pawn shop-esque as yeah, far as like sure. displays and whatever, and the guy, it wasn't the level of security that you maybe see in California, and, you know, I just like, so you like going in, and I'm sure you're talking about all of the things, but you like seeing what those options are. I like going in to see what the options are, but more the reason why I'm there is to understand, what does that experience look like for that guest?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What do I feel when I walk into that space? Mm-hmm. And the little waiting area that's got the thing, and is that door locked or is it not locked, and how does this work and how does that work, and
right, are they previewing products, are they guiding me in, what's my right. experience, and like,
are they selling just based off of price, which is what my experience ended up being, but it was also like Black Friday weekend
that
I was there, and so
do they have like specials?
They did. Oh. They had a special. So I mean,
a dumb question.
Well, it's more the what do they call it? Like Family Wednesday or Green Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving because everybody needs to stock up to make it through Thanksgiving.
Right. Yeah.
And now you don't have to go for a walk with the cousins.
Right. No more.
Just like you just now you go right out front and grandma's like, whatever, it's legal.
Yeah.
Well, grandma's out there with you.
I mean, I wish my grandma was out there with me. She's like, she doesn't feel it. Like, no. That's one of the crazy things. Like, she can smoke and nothing.
Oh,
not
she can
a thing.
Smoke and nothing.
She can smoke it and nothing.
Usually it's edibles and
usually
then people
it's,
who smoke.
It's beverage, yeah. But she feels neither of those. But CBD cream on her knuckle feels that.
Interesting.
It's everybody's system, man.
Yeah, everybody's different. Back to the shopping thing, there's a, like, I'm like, let's talk about products.
Yeah, I love it.
It was interesting because, like, contrasting your recent experience in New Mexico, one place that I always stop at, I spend a lot of time in Northern California, and there's a dispensary chain called Soulful there, which does all only sun-grown, which is, like, number one, why I love them, because I think, like, that's, to me...
This is a classification. It just means it's...
So you grow it outdoors. Correct. Yeah. And I think, you know, the difference being there are a lot of variables that you can control indoors that have a positive effect on the plant, mm-hmm. but the variables that you can't control outdoors, like the sun and the rain and the wind, are actually the things that make the plant resilient and give them these unique cannabinoid and terpene profiles. So like, and then when we think of like the energy cost of growing plants indoors versus outdoors, like
Sun's shining.
Let's use that. Let's not be spending and the water and all of these, like indoor production is great when you have to do it. But if you can do outdoor and you can do it right, like that to me is the way to do it for many reasons. So Soulful does all outdoor flower. They've got a number of other products, but it's like a Sephora. It's open shelf. You get a basket. You can walk through. You can pick things up. You can turn them over. All of their flower they have categorized by whether it's sort of uplifting, whether it's relaxing, or they have a hybrid option. They have little sniffer jars that you can look and smell each thing. They have stories of all of the farms that they work with. So there's some really cool people doing different shopping experiences. I know you mentioned you were at MJ BizCon.
Yep.
You check out Planet 13 while you were there?
I tried. I didn't get there.
You didn't get there?
I know. I was like, I need to go. And then I didn't. And I'm like, well, is this a reason
another
to go
dispensary
back.
And they have
in Vegas?
Yeah, it's Vegas and Southern California. In Vegas, they have a lounge as well, but it's like the Target of cannabis where you go and they just have like basically every brand. It's huge.
Right.
They have just tons of it. Like it's, you know, they're just different experiences there. You get a personal shopper who walks around with you, but you can't touch anything. And they're kind of making little notes and tallies. And then they'll pass you off to someone else. Someone in the back goes and gets all of your stuff. And then you check out separately. So very different experiences.
Target or IKEA.
Or IKEA, correct.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, because you don't grab everything at IKEA.
You grab it yourself.
But you take a little
Or you pull cards somewhere.
Well, so like if you're shopping upstairs and you find a couch you like, you don't get it from there. You have to go downstairs to like 26F and then put it on your
You
flat.
Get the reference.
26F.
I got you.
It's kind of like I was, you know Rob Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Apartment 113.
I've done
he does
his
a podcast.
Podcast.
So if you want to, you know, if you like this podcast, you might like that podcast, right? Yeah, I mean, you got like nine of them. Everybody's got a podcast these days. It's amazing. But yeah, anyways, Apartment 113. And it was just happened to be what his apartment number was when he lived in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called Apartment 113. So,
and that's his
26F might become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Might become a thing. No,
that
it's
is
his podcast.
Podcast.
It's his podcast.
Apartment 113. And I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
What's up, Rob? If you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that one on? Just out of curiosity.
I haven't listened to it yet.
He does a lot of different things. So
he's
he
got
does,
a lot cooking. Yeah.
It's in sort of that like cannabis psychedelics realm and just like a get to know people kind of thing.
Yeah. He was doing.
I like
he was doing a lot of. Kind of live on the fly podcasting, right? Like we were at, I'm lucky enough to know some really cool people like you, right? Mm-hmm. And And so
I think he's saying, like, I also know other cool people, not necessarily me. Just
well, we do
for clarification.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I took it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I took it both ways.
Okay, okay. I'll take it both ways.
I mean, I sat it both ways.
But I do also. I know some very cool people.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
You do, Andrew, cool person. But like Dustin and the Fat Nugs crew, and Daniel was in, and I got to meet Kenya, and there's a whole bunch of like fun people that we were hanging out with, and Rob happened to be one of them. Mm-hmm. And we were at the Vegas Classic and, you know, the country club that's like right, just not far off the strip. It was super cool. I get to like show all of my wares and everybody's doing all their things. And Rob's over there just as people are coming in, he's just sitting down. I don't know how many different little snippets of podcasts he was able to get done just during that few hour event. And then Puff Creative put on a pickleball tournament that Michelle and I played in. And we did all right. And there was people that did a lot better than us, but it was a whole ridiculous amount of fun. And there's Rob hanging out underneath the sunshade and podcasting away, and everybody's just having a fun time.
Molly, the Kush RN, she did a similar thing at Legacy Cup this year, and I think it was a fantastic where people could just stop in for 10, 15 minutes, leave their thoughts on the industry or the event itself, and it was great. She did it at Earl Giles a couple months ago, too.
Giles.
Oh, I liked it. I was going to say, is it Giles or Giles?
It's Giles, and I can't.
It's hard, though. Like, if you've had it in your head, it's something else.
Oh, that's all right. They're not going to be offended.